You're listening to Body by Block with Dr. Stephen Block. It's your opportunity to ask questions on the latest technology of face and body enhancement. Body by Block.
Lining up for Olaf and Wendy's Center, even though they don't start at 3. That's because Doug's son, Hot Doug, is going to be their guest for 405.
Welcome to the Body by Block Show. My name is David Hochberg. I am your host. On the line with me is Dr. Stephen Block from Body by Block. How are you, Doctor?
I'm doing great, David. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I know we're going to talk about plastic surgery today and a bunch of other things because that's what the show is all about.
We could talk about politics.
So for Quinn or Rauner, and how do you feel about abortion? So I can't wait till Wednesday morning, Doctor, so I could actually watch TV again. It's like, for the love of God, enough already. Jeez.
It's true.
I can't take it any longer. 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. Go to Dr. Block's website, which is bodybyblock.com. I want to ask you a question, Doc. I was in a car accident this week. I was in the back of a cab, and all the reason why you should wear a seatbelt in the back of a taxi, because you never know when a lady is going to come from a north-south street while you're going east-west, and blow through a stop sign and blast into the taxi that you were sitting in.
It could be a male driver, too, by the way.
It could be
sexist.
No, absolutely. In this case, it was a female driver, and or it can be a male driver in the future, but I hope never to be in one of these again. So in this case, I was in the back of a cab. Lady blew through a red stop sign and basically went T-bone my cab. Okay, everybody's good. Everybody's fine. A little sore, but nothing broken, so everything's good. How many people come to you? And I was thinking about our Thursday show here and what's going on with plastic surgery. And most of the people that have called in have been elective, right? Have come in because they want their breasts done. They're too big. They're deflated. I don't want the bat wings anymore. I want a little Botox. I've got the apron from losing 150 pounds. I want to look younger. I want to feel younger. I want to do all that stuff. But how many women or men come into you? How many of your patients were in some type of accident? Not life-threatening, but just rearranged their nose, you know, just got banged up and their face got a little smashed up. Do you get a lot of that?
Not a lot. Maybe 5 to 10% of patients. But I think the most important thing, you know, what the public has to realize is, okay, let's say you got a scar or a laceration.
Uh-huh.
The body heals by forming scar tissue. If you never formed a scar, you would never heal. There's a variability as to how well you're going to heal, really based on your DNA. Just, you know, that's the luck of the draw. So I can't, you know, it's a fallacy that you could remove scars. You can't. You can improve them sometimes. You could sometimes revise the scar and redirect a portion of it so it falls into a natural crease. But there's always going to be a scar. And, you know, the biggest myth out there is that if you're having plastic surgery, that, you know, people think, well, that there's never a trade-off, that there'll never be a scar. It'll be just you know, perfect.
So what do you do for, like, a horrific scar? Right, I was in the back of the cab. And, you know, you have flashbacks when you get into an accident. And, again, I was wearing my seatbelt, so I was good. But if we got T-boned, if she blew the stop sign going a little faster, my head could have gone through the back window. And then I've got glass and scratches and
right.
I got marks. Well, but how do you cover that up? How do you reconstruct that?
Well, first, you have to sew it. You have to put everything back in its place. And let me tell you that one of the biggest things I've seen, you know, when I first started my training eons ago, the windshields in cars, they weren't the shatterproof glass. And we used to see people coming into the ER, and I'm not exaggerating, their face looked like hamburger meat. And it literally would take hours and hours to put them back together again. And quite frankly, no matter what we did, their faces were always scarred up. And fortunately, with the improvement in rules and seat belts and the shatterproof glass, it's really nice. You don't see that anymore. You just don't see it. So you might see a laceration, but it's not going to be the whole face that looks like hamburger. So one is always a meticulous closure. Then there are some products that we use. Maybe it's the silicone, which comes as a sheet, and you may want to put some compression, add some compression to it, which helps to minimize the scar. You want to protect it from the sun because the sun could cause a hyperpigmentation of the scar. You want to use some moisturizing creams. Over the course of a year, you may want to do some laser to the scars to try to minimize it, or a different laser to try to get the redness out.
Would you use that treatment, Doc, that the lady that called in last week when she had that kind of like that palsy effect on her eye? Would you try to use something like that to stimulate the collagen under? No,
because that actually kind of worked beneath the skin, and usually the scar is on the surface. And so what you're trying to do is get the scar itself to flatten out, or the redness to dissipate from the scar. So it kind of depends what you're trying to achieve. Each patient is a little bit different. So you have to try to create a game plan that's going to fit the individual needs of that patient. But at the end of the day, you also have to tell them. At the end of a year, we might revise the scar. We may or may not. We may inject it with a little bit of a filler in order to plump it up from underneath. May do a little fat injection. There's a whole host of things which could be done. But no matter what I do, at the end of the day, you will have a scar. And we're trying to just create something that's as unobtrusive as possible. We're trying to, trying to minimize it, and that's all that we could do. But there's always going to be a scar.
So you got to set the expectations earlier. You're right. You know, during the initial consultation, because literally, I've been a handful of accidents. Thanks God. Thank God, I've only been in a handful of accidents. But I could flash back to the accident I was in Brooklyn, New York, in my uncle's 65 Chevelle when he picked me up at the airport, and I was visiting him from Chicago to New York, and we got somebody turned into us, and I still have flashbacks to that accident from 40 years ago, right? And, this was literally 3 days ago. And, it's just I kept thinking about, I was on with Dr. McGuire yesterday, and we were talking about urological problems, and I said, I'm going to talk to Dr. Block tomorrow about, how it impacts facial, plastic surgery. And it's just, it completely, when you get into an accident and you see accidents, you first of all, it was like, what the hell just happened? Because these cars are made like tanks now. It didn't even feel like we got hit, but, but there was a jolt in there. And I was just thinking, my face could have gone up against the taxi thing, and it could have gone back and hit my head. So I was just, so about 5 or 10% of your clients. Now, how about this? Have you ever had one of your patients who had a breast augmentation have one of the implants explode because of the airbag, or they got into some type of accident? And what happens then?
Yes, I have to replace it. And I'll take it one step further. We've had patients who, by history, I believe they've had a mammogram, and there's a fair amount of compression with a mammogram, and at least by history, it appears that the implant broke as a result of the mammogram.
Are you serious?
Totally.
So because she was, the woman was pushing so hard up against the...
Well, I guess I've never actually had a mammogram, but...
what are you doing next Tuesday, Doc?
But sometimes they really squeeze the breast and compress it, and a lot of women say it hurts like hell. And from histories, from patients who've come in, occasionally they said, my breast, the feel, the consistency of this breast is totally different after the mammogram. And then we sometimes do some follow-up tests, and sure enough, it's broken.
You're listening to Body by Block Show on WGN.FM. You could download a podcast of this show and previous shows by going to WGN.FM. And about an hour after this show, Brian, our trusted producer, will have this show up and running on the podcast. If you're interested, download it, send it to your friends, family, coworkers, and neighbor, talking about today's topics. Also, info@bodybyblock.com. Info@bodybyblock. Block is spelled BLOCH. Com. It is holiday season coming up right around the corner. What better gift to give your loved one or yourself? The gift of youth. How many people would you come in around holiday time, Doc, and say, you know what? I've got my rings, I've got my earrings, I've got my purses, I've got my boots, I've got healthy kids, I've got this. I want my neck to be back to where it was. I want to lose the rooster neck. Do you get a lot of that at holiday time?
Well, the holidays tend to be, for me, the busiest time. And that's for a whole host of reasons. A lot of businesses slow down or they are closed over the holidays. So people often don't want to take more time off for an elective operation, so they choose to have it done then. If it's something that insurance might pay for, they usually have met their deductibles by then, so they want to get it in before the end of the year. The college kids are home for usually about a month, so we often do a lot of noses right around that time.
Okay.
So that's one of the times, you know, or it does become a gift, breast augmentation from the husband, the boyfriend, or liposuction. So it's actually amazing. You would think people would want to do it well in advance of the holidays, but the reality of it is the holiday time tends to be the busiest time for most plastic surgeons around the country.
So do this right now, folks. Write this down, info@bodybyblock, that's BLOCH.com. Take a selfie of yourself. Take a selfie of somebody that you work with. Take a selfie of your husband when you think he's listening to you, when you're talking about something that he really doesn't care what you're saying, but is looking at you intently as if he cares about what you're saying, and say, you know what, sweetheart, you look beautiful in that, in, you know, right now. Can I take a picture? Snap it, and then immediately email it to info@bodybyblock.com and say, Doc, this is a picture of my husband. I got to get his ears done. It's been 25 years. I can't stand the flipping ears. What can you do? Okay. Or Doc, look at his nose. All right. It's not good. It's been 25 years. I liked everything about him, but the nose when I married him, his nose has gotten worse as he's gotten older. Can you do anything? Maybe then take a picture of your breasts, right? As long as you're taking pictures, take a snapshot, and maybe Dr. Block could take a look at your breasts and say, hey, you know what? While we're doing your husband's nose, we'll throw in some saline implants and get your breasts to where they were when you were 25. So 312-521-8600 is the phone and text line. Keep the phone calls and the text coming. And I think at the end of the year, take a look at starting 15 off being youthful. I mean, I've had about four or five different procedures in your facility, in your med spa at 1160 Park Avenue West, doctor. And I will tell you, my face has never looked better. My hands have never looked better. I love my grandpa Joe. We used to call him Papa Joe, and he had sunspots on his hands. And as much as I love my Papa Joe and like looking at my Papa Joe,
it's really an aging thing.
You know, it is.
You look down and you see those age spots on the hands, it really dates you.
And it just—I look down. And I'm just like, holy smokes! It's a drastic improvement. I look down and I saw something on my wrist. I never knew it was there. You know, now that I'm paying attention, because we have a relationship now. We're buddies, and I'm just like,
we can make you totally nuts by the time you're done.
I'm going a little mushugi. I'm like, what? And my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm giving myself the gift of youth. That's right. She's like, are you dating anybody? I'm like, I'm dating you.
You know, it's funny about that. That is threatening to a lot of marriages, because all of a sudden you're changing that equation a little bit, and you're changing things around. And very often, one's partner is somewhat threatened.
Yeah, my wife's got nothing. I couldn't afford a beef sandwich. Okay, but I'd be sleeping on your couch. I couldn't afford anything. She would drain me. I love her. Everything's great. I have no energy to do anything else but love my wife. So yeah, I'm like, take it easy. All right, I've got these splotches all over my face, and you know they're falling off. I'm wearing moisturizer now and actually washing my face before I go to bed. Okay, so it's a massive improvement. 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600. I'd like to welcome one of your patients, Rachel, on the phone. How are you, Rachel?
I'm really good, thank you. How about yourself?
Any better, I would explode. It's coming to the end of the year. Life is good. Everybody's healthy. Had some treatments with Dr. Block, and we want to talk about some of the things that you've done. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
All right. So I always ask this question. I always start off the interview with, How did you get to Dr. Block, and did you see any other plastic surgeons before interviewing board-certified, world-renowned plastic surgeon Dr. Block? So your dime, your dance. How did you get to him, and did you see anybody before going to Dr. Block?
I did see someone a long time ago before I found Dr. Block, and I had a breast augmentation done and was unhappy with it, and ended up just researching a number of different surgeons, and I was referred to him by some other people that know him, some other patients, and went and did some more online research and things of that nature. But then when I went to go in for a consultation and describe what I was going through and what my challenges were and et cetera, and what a plan of attack would be, if you would, it was a really comfortable rapport from the get-go. I felt very comfortable and confident in his skill set, but also just the manner in which he, you know, took my case, you know, very personal in a way that, you know, don't worry, we can fix this and we can make it better than ever. And so that started a multi-year long relationship. And that was quite some time ago, though. I think it was maybe 2004.
Wow. What was it about your initial breast augmentation that that the first doctor did that you weren't satisfied with? And Doc, when Rachel answers that, I want you to discuss what you did to make Rachel happy. So, Rachel, what was it about the first procedure that you did that you just didn't like and you weren't happy?
The symmetry wasn't there for me, and also my breasts were very, very hard, firm to the touch. It was just not natural at all, and I wanted to look very natural. I didn't want to look overdone for my size of my anatomy, and I'm very athletic, so I didn't want to have something I was wearing top heavy, etc. So it was those kinds of things. It was a lack of symmetry. It was just not the right solution for me. And at that point, I was really becoming more and more introverted because I was more and more sensitive to how I looked, not only in clothing, but just in swimwear and stuff like that. So that was the initial thing that Dr. Block had set out to correct for me.
So you went in trying to make yourself feel better, and you came out making yourself feel a lot more uncomfortable than you did going in.
I mean, originally,
right. Yeah, not with Dr. Block. I'm just talking about the first surgeon. So you kind of had the exact opposite effect of what you were going for when you went in the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a number of cysts removed from my breasts, and so that just runs in my family. And I thought, well, I could be a good candidate after they removed those cysts for an augmentation. And so, you know, I was much younger then, too, and I was just, you know, I was just married, and I just wanted something that, you know, I'd be comfortable with and made me feel, you know, sexy and female-like and all this kind of stuff. And it did the exact opposite until I found Dr. Block, and that's when he was able to correct everything for me.
Wow. So, Doc, do you get a lot of these type of patients coming to you where they've gone to another doctor, not happy with the results, it didn't turn out, it didn't look good, it didn't feel good, the woman, you know, I would assume it's a woman doing a breast augmentation.
Not always, but yes.
Right, okay, probably not, over 95%. You know, do you get a lot? You know, how about this question? What percentage of your business are you redoing somebody else's work that your patient aren't happy with, like Rachel here?
I don't know exactly how many, but what it winds up being, if you can do a redo, it's not for the novice plastic surgeon. It really does, you know, it's often far more complex, and you often have to not only remove the scar tissue, you often have to put it in a new plane, whether if it was above the muscle, you would put it behind the muscle, and then you have to deal with the old pocket. In Rachel's case, what I did back then is I rearranged the pocket, I removed the scar tissue, changed the size of the implant that I think that better fit her anatomy.
Can I ask you a quick question? When you say pocket, what exactly are you talking about? I know what a pocket is. I have my hands in my pockets right now, but
right.
What exactly is a pocket?
It's basically the space that I'm putting the implant into. And so, you know, the breast normally sits above the muscle, the pectoralis muscle. Mm-hmm. And so you're creating a space either above the muscle or behind the muscle in order to hold the implant. And techniques have changed what to do. I mean, the hardest part in breast augmentation is the body, again, heals by forming scar tissue. If you never formed any scar tissue, you would never heal. And sometimes, you know, the original guy who operated on you, it might have been a perfect operation, but over time, the scar tissue that forms around the implant, it may contract, it may tighten, it could distort the underlying implant. And so what might have started out as great-looking operation, if you looked at it a year or two later, it doesn't look so hot. And then if that scar tissue continues to contract over time, it creates what we call a capsule. And it distorts the shape of the implant, and it also distorts the feel. The breasts become rock hard. Your boyfriend or whatever could probably crack a tooth on it.
Well, that's what he's going for, Doc. Yeah, that's the goal. Crack a tooth on a breast, and then you win a prize.
And that's a hard problem to fix because before we used to go in, remove the scar tissue, create a new pocket, put it in a new implant. And in Rachel's case, it's held up great. She didn't form another capsule, which is awesome. But there's a 50% chance across the board that you may form another capsule. And that was, you know, nobody likes to have a statistic of going in on an elective operation and the results are just 50-50. But at the time that we operated on Rachel, that was the best of what was available in technology. If I was to do that today, the biggest improvement I've seen in over 30 years of practice on a redo of the breast is this product called Stratus. It's a cadaver pig skin, and all the proteins and anything that you might be allergic to are removed from it. So it's merely acting as a scaffold. And what I do is I remove the scar tissue, and then I literally line the pocket around the implant with this Stratus. And you get an ingrowth of the body tissue into this Stratus, and it doesn't behave like normal scar tissue. It behaves like normal tissue. And so your capsular contracture rate with the use of Stratus drops from 50% to less than 5%. It's awesome. So if I was to see a patient today who had a capsule, I would strongly recommend that we line the pocket with the Stratus. It's an expensive product, but I view it like a insurance policy. Because to go on, you know, to be operated on every couple of years is not a hell of a lot of fun. And if I could put something in that helps to prevent you getting a capsular contracture, I think it's a home run and worth every penny.
So, Rachel, how did you feel after the surgery with Dr. Block? And did you get out more? Did you wear better clothes to make you, you know, feel better? Did you go back out in a bathing suit and were able to be seen under, you know, under the sun and without staying in your house all the time and avoiding people? What was it like post-op with Dr. Block compared to the post-op to the first plastic surgeon you went to?
It was night and day difference, and it was just even the comfort, the physical comfort. I didn't even realize that that would also be something that I'd be aware of, that there was a physical comfort level, like a difference between the first one and the second one. Then there's a difference in the touch. It was exactly what we were going for as a goal. So it was a natural feel altogether. You couldn't feel anything moving around there. And I hope that I'm not being too graphic, but it's just, you know, you want it to feel like your own anatomy in there. And so there was that. And then, yeah, I was more open. I don't really wear a lot of sexy clothing or anything like that, but going out and being comfortable in a swimsuit or an evening dress or something like this where you just feel like you've got appropriate symmetry, you've got the right scale of your enhancement to your own body, and that's something that I think a lot of people, a lot of women, have a challenge with because they can overdo it sometimes. And if you don't have a surgeon who really cares about you in a way that you almost look like an animated character versus the best version of yourself, which is kind of, you know, it's definitely how I felt post-op with these implants in.
And more importantly, your husband's dental bills went down because he stopped chipping
doing
his teeth.
Doing the dental bill thing, my gosh, that's saying a lot about my sex life.
That's right.
Or, you know, the grip factor, you know.
Right.
Was it a Chicago clincher or was it more of like a natural feel? It was definitely, you know, he could notice it as well. And he knew that it made me more, you know, confident in, you know, areas of our relationship and things of that nature. I mean, he, fortunately, wasn't with somebody that said, oh, you know, you have to look a certain way. It wasn't anything driven by him to do this. It was my decision, and it was my own self-confidence in bed and things of that nature, or intimacy, I should say. So, you know, but yeah, that was definitely a bonus.
Happy life, happy life. Happy wife, happy life. That's what every man that's married says. And as long as you're happy, your husband will be happy, either through default or just through sheer torture. So 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. Our producer, Brian, is 24 years old, Dr. Block and Rachel, and he has no idea what we're talking about. And Brian, here's what I want to advise you to do. Podcast this show on your phone, and after you get married, Every 4 months, play it back, and you'll know exactly what the hell we're talking about. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about right now. Three, because they don't teach that at Indiana University, Dr. Block and Rachel, right? They just don't teach, you know, marital bliss.
Actually, what I would tell Brian is when he's married, he should wake up and just apologize every morning.
Exactly.
Just apologize.
That's what I do. That's what I do to my wife. I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry I disappointed you. And she's still sleeping. So I just put it on a recording, say, hit play, sweetheart, I love you. And whatever it is, I'm sorry. And I admit to being wrong. 312-521-8600. 3125. Look at that. Look at all this great. You know how much Dr. Block charges for that consultation, Brian? Have you got any idea how much this guy's billing out an hour? Look at that free advice you got. 312-521-8600 is the phone and text line. You can go to Dr. Block's website, bodybyblock.com, to learn all about the different procedures that we're talking about here on the show. You could also take a picture. How valuable would this have been, Rachel? Back in the day when you started seeing Dr. Block, we were converting from the brick phones to flip phones that didn't have any that didn't have any photo capabilities, picture capabilities, or video. Now we could run our office out of our cell phone. But how valuable would it have been back in the day to take a picture of your breasts, take a picture of your nose, because we're going to get to that during the next half hour of the show, and say, hey, Dr. Block, check this out. This is what they did. I went to a different surgeon. I don't like the size. I don't like the feel. Here's what the front shot looks like, side shot, angle shot, up, down, and then send him a picture of three different sides of your face, front, left, and right, and then have him contact you back via email and say, I really think we could do something with you. Please give us a call at 847-432-0840 to schedule a consultation. How valuable would that have been?
I don't think that's honestly as important for people who live in the area, because honestly, they could just make an appointment and come in. You know, I have a lot of people who would like to just do email, but I can't operate over the email. At a certain point, you have to show up.
Right.
However, I just have two patients from Florida. We have been going back and forth with photographs and everything else. We've done the consultation on the phone. And both of them, rather than flying up here, having a consultation and having to set up a date a month or two later to do the surgery, we have done this entire thing over the internet. The whole thing is being done, and they are set for in December over the holidays, and we're going to operate on them. So it saved them traveling back and forth. And the other thing that the internet has really done, or you know, the smartphone, is even post-op. You know, the patient's home, I'm either here or at home, and the patient has a question, you know, and they're describing it over the phone, and I'll say, I'll tell you what, why don't you just take a photograph and send it to me, and I'll tell you if it's something that you have to come into the office, mm-hmm. or we could deal with it over the phone. So for that part, it has made the practice of medicine a whole new game. It's been great.
Body by Block, 312-521-8600. Email your selfies to info@bodybyblock. That's BLOCH, 847-432-0840. 1160 Park Avenue West is the operating facility in Metzpa in Highland Park, 1986 Tower Road in the Glen. In Glenview, Illinois is the Metzpa. In Glenview, Doc and Rachel, we're going to take a quick break and be back after these messages.
Wow! I feel good.
Welcome back to the Body by Block Show. David Hochberg, 312-521-8600, the phone and text line. On the line with us is both Dr. Block from his medical facility and operating facility in Highland Park at 1160 Park Avenue West. Just west of the Highland Park High School athletic fields is Dr. Block is there right now. And also Rachel, one of Dr. Block's patients, being talking to us from wherever Rachel is. But Rachel had a reconstructive breast enhancement done by Dr. Block. That's what we talked about during the first half hour. Phone lines are open. 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600 is the phone and text line. And we got a lot of calls from Dr. Block's patients, Rachel, that said it increased their net worth, so to speak. It increased their youthfulness. It increased their mental spirit, just having something that fit right, looked right, and made them feel better. Did you experience that same type of euphoria after the reconstructive surgery that Dr. Block did?
Yeah, I really did. It's just, again, just another one of the benefits there.
And you said that you had other types of procedures, and I've got a list here of the different types of procedures that you went through. Which came first, the rhinoplasty, or did you go with the facelift after you had your breast reconstructed by Dr. Block?
I think, you know, Dr. Block, maybe you could help me. I don't have my file. Again, it was a while ago. But did I have the rhinoplasty then?
I think you had. You did. You okay. did. It was the yeah. rhinoplasty.
So I've got one of those noses that from 2 years on keeps growing. And I'm ethnic. So I really was, again, just contending with if, you know, what would be a nice subtle option to make my face look a little more feminine, because I definitely take after my father's side of the family, which is not a problem. They're a handsome family. But I wanted something that wasn't so out there. And it was, I didn't really realize that people's noses could continue to grow. At least mine does. I don't know if that's, you know, for everyone across the board. But, yeah, mine was going, and there was a bump in the middle of it that just seemed to be taking on its own personality. So I definitely wanted to consider some options for that. So I went back to Dr. Block then for that.
So Dr. Block, this Pinocchio complex that Rachel was having,
I think Rachel, honestly, is being a little hard on herself, because to be perfectly honest with you, whether it's her face, her body, Rachel is actually a babe. She's beautiful. She just really is. So anything that I've ever done to her, it's been really a matter of tweaking. But she, you know, she really is an extremely attractive woman.
And Rachel, babe was the phrase that pays on this week's show, and Dr. Block wins free Botox for himself at Body by Block. So congratulations, Dr. Block. We were wondering, was it going to be you, one of our callers, one of our texters, but you dropped the babe line in there, and congratulations. So, but if people, is that, listen, you look at your body, Dr. Block, and you go through treatments. Rachel looks at her body and sees this nose that she's just not happy with. And obviously, as we get older, we've talked about this on the show, you know, your body changes, your facial structure changes. What exactly can people do if they just don't like their nose? And what did you do with Rachel to get that bump out of her nose and make her nose beautiful, more beautiful than it was before you?
So the tip was it projected just a little bit more than what one would like. There was a subtle little bump on there. And the tip was also just a little bit bulbous. And what she wanted was a little bit more sharper, more defined nose, just a more classic profile. And from the front, it should just be a little narrower. So what did I do? I filed down the bone. We narrowed the bone. Actually took a little bit of that excess cartilage off the tip. And then I actually, to make the tip a little bit sharper, I added a little bit of cartilage. So rhinoplasty is not only what you're taking off, but it's equally important as to what you're leaving behind, and occasionally we're adding. So it's a matter of, you know, the yin and the yang, and you got to balance the whole thing out and really sculpt it. And I also got to tell you that of all the operations out there, probably a rhinoplasty is one of the most difficult operations. It's a humbling operation for the plastic surgeon, because sometimes you could have the most elegant nose on the table, but you don't see the final appearance on a nose job for a full year and occasionally for 2 years. And the limiting factor on a nose is, how is that skin going to shrink down? It's not like I could just cut off the excess skin. So it's a matter of changing the underlying structure and then having that skin redrape. And sometimes in the healing process, that scar tissue doesn't really behave exactly the way I want it to. And so what you thought was absolutely beautiful, a year or two later, you know, we tend to be our own worst critics. But occasionally in that healing process, it gets a little distorted. And there's an occasional patient you have to go back in and do a little bit of a touch-up, a humbling operation. Because what we're dealing with is the difference of millimeters. It's an operation of millimeters, and that determines whether you just got a 10 or an 8 or a 9. It's a millimeter.
If you want your, if you want Dr. Block to take a look at your nose, send a picture of your nose, frontal, and then a frontal shot, then a side, each side of your face, to info at bodybyblock, that's BLOCH.com, info at bodybyblock, BLOCH.com. So, Rachel, sorry, he's got me on the babe thing here. So, Rachel, okay, we got the breast redone, we got the nose done, now we're going for the facelift, okay, and it says the anterior face. What exactly didn't you like about your face prior to the procedure, and what did you like about your face post-procedure?
So this started a long time ago, before I even saw Dr. Block, for my best dog, and I was in a car accident where glass had gone into my face, and at that time, this is when I was much younger, I had a dermatologist who was on staff at the hospital who took skin grafts, over 10 grafts from behind my ear, and transplanted and implanted them into these openings in my face. So fast forward all these other years where now I have to have that the surface of my skin completely, it was just very bumpy. You could definitely see a lot of scar tissue. The older I was getting, you know, with the elasticity kind of, you know, waning a little bit, you know, wrinkles start to set in, blah, blah, blah. The skin texture, not as luminous skin. I went to Dr. Block and I said, you know, this is something for me that was just more than anything, more than my nose or more than any kind of, you know, my breast size or anything like that. It was like, boy, your skin is like your billboard. And because of all this, like, surface work I had done to try and get the scar tissue to quiet down, it really traumatized my skin on my face. So one way to kind of smooth out an interior is like your cheekbone areas. And Dr. Black, correct me, because obviously I don't know all the technicalities, but if we were to just take that area of my face, that cheek area, and pull it back, you know, ever so slightly, just to make it a little more taut, so it took all of that area that was so damaged by different procedures. Not that Dr. Block had anything to do with those, but, you know, I was at a point where I just didn't even feel like I even had options back then. And again, through combination of that lift and also skin resurfacing, I'm telling you, it's just a paradigm shift in the overall view of my face. It's just, you know, and I'm not trying to sound like a critical person of myself. I mean, I do. I love myself. I'm not trying to be perfect or anything, but it made such a huge difference in a more youthful appearance. And I have an intense personality, and a lot of my friends and family say that. And so some of the things that are just subtle, like that little bit of a lift and subtle, like some skin resurfacing and things, it just softens that appearance. I don't look so harsh. You know, I'm very animated in my facial expressions a lot, so that takes its wear. It takes its toll at times on your face as you age. But I did that, and it made, again, a significant difference. And Dr. Black is exactly right, and his approach is always this tweaking. You really don't have to. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to overwork it. And I think that's what really sets him apart from a lot of surgeons out there, a lot of procedures out there today.
So, Doc, you said when you were doing her Rachel's nose, you took cartilage. You used cartilage. Did you take that out of another part of Rachel's body and use her own cartilage, or did you use man-made cartilage? If there's even man-made cartilage,
I used her cartilage. So, of the areas that were a little bulbous, I took out that excess cartilage in that spot, and I saved that cartilage and then used it to add it where I wanted to create a better architecture.
Got it. And
the other thing I wanted to talk about, okay, so we're talking about skin texture, whether it's a result of acne scarring or trauma. And Rachel's a perfect example. She came in and we pretty much said, you know, and actually, because I'm a guy and I'm kind of a pig, and she's a beautiful girl, and I think everything should always have a happy ending. If I go to the movies, I always want it to have a happy ending. So if I see a beautiful girl, in my mind, they should have beautiful skin. Mm-hmm. And it's worth whatever the effort is that I have to put in and the patient has to put in order to get her there. It's worth it. And so it's a journey. And what I tell patients from day one, okay, this is going to be a journey. To get your skin from here to where we want it, unfortunately, it's going to take multiple procedures. And what sometimes happens with patients with facial scarring or acne is that as they get a little bit older, the skin is not quite as elastic as it was when they were younger. And so that facial scarring over time becomes more apparent, not less. And so we did a couple of things on her, but, you know, she was great. She hung in there, and we've done it. You know, so we lifted the skin to restore some of the skin tension, and she's had several laser resurfacing. Quite frankly, depending upon how the technology has improved, she's been game, and we've been working on it. And, you know, it's great, because when she first walked in, and I thought to myself, here's a beautiful girl, but I don't like her skin. And now when I see her, it's like, here's a beautiful girl, period.
Right.
And that's the way it's supposed to be. Happy endings.
So you were in a car accident, Rachel. Is that what you said that caused the disfiguration of your face?
It was not disfiguration. It was my skin was really, it was permeated by a bunch of like flying broken glass from the windshield back then. And so, it, you know, when I ended up in the emergency room, et cetera, you know, they can stitch you up and so on, but you look kind of like the Bride of Frankenstein or something, yeah. You know. And again, on your face, and I also have olive skin, so it has a greater tendency to wear scar tissue and color it differently than different skin types. So there's all that kind of going on, and I actually just sat there and lived with it like that for a long time, and it was hard. You know, it was probably mostly on my own mental walls I put up for it, but, you know, again, you just kind of like, okay, here we go. It's just, what are my options? I always loved just luminous, hydrated-looking, youthful skin. For most men and women, I think all of us just think that that's a definite sign of youth. And I had that at a very early age on, but then for years, until Dr. Block helped me, I just lived with this really, you know, miserable condition in my opinion. And as he mentioned, the technology just changes. It's an ever-ending set of changes with the technology, only getting better. And but it helped give me a better understanding of my skin and how to treat it and how to take better care of it, etc. But again, the advances, maybe outwardly to some people would be slight, but, you know, when I don't have makeup on and things like that, I like to go, you know, natural. It's huge. It never looks like I have any work done, and I can't tell you how grateful I am to have, you know, found Dr. Block, because he's just a less is more approach, you know, and it's any of his patients, they just look like canary diamonds. They're gorgeous. You know, I don't care if it's a man he's working on or a woman he's working on, and if it's corrective or whatever, I'm one of many people that are quite pleased.
312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. I'm glad you brought up the car accident, because I was just talking about that earlier today with Dr. Black. I was in a car accident in the back of a cab, and everything's okay, just a little sore, you know, uncomfortable. But if I hit my head against the windshield, if I hit my head against the side window, if it was brutal and the car flipped over and all the glass and the metal and the plastic and everything, it could have been messed up. And Dr. Black was talking about what percentage of his patients, you know, come from accidents like that. And you got it done, and I just find it fascinating. We started talking about it, and you called in today to talk about your work that you did to correct what you did when you were younger, what was done to you when you were younger. And how long of a journey was it to get you from where you were when you first saw Dr. Block to where you are today, to where you could look in the mirror and go, damn, I'm happy? You know, because Dr. Block just said it was a journey. So how long did that journey take you to get from the start to the finish?
You know, I'm 48 now, and I'm always told that I don't look my age chronologically, and I attribute all of that, really. I mean, a part of it is my fitness, part of it's my what I'm putting in my mouth, you know, my nutrition, but it harmonizes with the work that he does, and it's, you know, also the MediSpa portion, which is just your maintenance. You know, you can get a facial anywhere, or you can really go out nowadays and select something of, you know, these great skin procedures that he does, and it's just amazing, you know, on your face and your neck, and they're just reasonable. It's totally capable of working it into your lifestyle, financially, your lifestyle that from that standpoint, which is great because it makes it very pedestrian friendly and attainable for everyone, which a lot of people, I think, get kind of trepidatious or intimidated by, wow, that's going to cost a ton of money, et cetera. But to answer your question about the journey, I think I've been seeing Dr. Block since 2004, and that doesn't mean I'm in his office every year doing something, but I was happy, and the trust that was built on the first procedure lent itself to, 20 years almost. You know, it's like, you know, a couple decades worth of just, hey, I know if I've got something going on, I can lean on his expertise, and I trust him and his entire team. They're like family, and it's great. The journey, I don't feel like I'm on a journey anymore. I've been very, very happy. You know, I'm a happy person by nature. If I want to tweak something because I want to tweak something that's more personal, I don't really have a lot of people out there going, hey, you know, your nose is crazy, go do something about it. Or, you know, I don't succumb to pressure from looking at a magazine and say, oh, I wish I looked like her and 10-foot-long legs, et cetera. But I do honestly feel that I am the best version of myself, and so I no longer feel like I'm on a journey so much as it's just, you know what, I like to take care of myself, and I feel like he's the leader of that team for me. So
he's the captain of the pit crew.
That's right.
Right. I mean, it's like Le Mans, and you're the Ferrari, right? And you're the red Ferrari everybody's chasing after at the 24 hours of Le Mans, and you pull in for a pit stop every 4 hours to get change of tires, wipe your windshield, maybe load up with gas. And what you're doing is nose job, boob job, a little facial enhancement there. Everything's good. I mean, so Rachel, thank you for calling in. You've been a great guest. And doctor, while Rachel's on the phone, you got 2 minutes before we got to get out of here. Talk about the 24 hours of Le Mans and why people should treat themselves like a high performance race car and make a pit stop every once in a while to change the tires and get more fuel.
Well, we only go around once, and I think we should at least drive the car that we always want, as long as it's within reach. So there is no doubt, you know, that the quality of one's life and their enjoyment is enhanced if they are going around in the body that they wanted within reason. You sometimes find patients who come in who are totally unrealistic as to what can be achieved and what they want. You know, and there has to be a commitment on the part of the patient. A person who comes in 50 pounds overweight and somehow wants me to transform themselves into some Vogue model, you know what? It's not going to happen. I could get them smaller. I could get them slimmer. But it really does take a commitment on the part of the patient to participate. It's not, you can't leave it totally up to me. There has to be a participation on the part of the patient to stay in shape, to work out, to use reasonable skin care, watch what they eat. Diet is probably the most critical, and I'm not with the patient all the time. I can't watch what they eat. But assuming they're doing everything right, most people find that diet and exercise can only get them just so far. And then after that, if they want a Ferrari, then they have to come here and we could rev them up and they will be driving a Ferrari.
You got it. And look like one and feel like one. Rachel, appreciate you calling in. Great, great, great success story. I really hope you enjoy the rest of the procedures you have with Dr. Block. Thanks for sharing your story. And you've been listening to the Body by Block show, hosted by Dr. Stephen Block, board-certified, world-renowned plastic surgeon. If you want to contact his office for a consultation, 847-432-0840, 847-432-0840. Send your selfies to info@bodybyblock.com. info@bodybyblock.com. Doc, thanks for
thank you.
Spending time, and we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
It's always fun. Okay, thank you.